So this will be a very brief presentation, I hope. Maybe not. That's okay if it's not. We wanted to get you guys do a bit of a straw poll and make sure we're heading in the right direction with this. We're looking at redoing the SU logo. This came about, our design department's been looking at this for a while, but it's been accelerated because we just renovated our offices. And we want to get a nice finished metal logo to put behind the front desk. So we have to decide what the logo is going to be. So we kind of accelerated it up, and that's why I'm here today, to get your feedback on. If there's good response here tonight, later this week, early next, the exec will finalize a decision. But we want to just run, take the temperature of council on this. This is the current logo. The text outlines some of the issues. It's a good logo. It's lasted a long time. But it also looks, it's also of its age. The intent of it, to represent the light of knowledge. There's also an S and a U in the drawing. Maybe people don't see that until we point it out for them. And it's based upon using our fireplace as kind of a symbol of the SU, the light of knowledge and all that kind of stuff. So we wanted to retain, this does have some capital on campus. It is a brand that students by their third or fourth year recognize. So we didn't want to just toss it out like we did the previous one. The previous one, by the way, history, affectionately known as the squash bug. The previous logo was the Bonnet. So the big sculpture hanging outside our building, that was our logo. We had a version of that as a logo. Photocopied terribly. And when we reduced it, it looked like a squash bug. So we called it the squash bug logo. This is the flame logo, and this is the current one. So we wanted to evolve it, not change it too much. Do you want to just slide that up a little bit? Mm-hmm. Next page. Let's go back. That's fine. So this is what we've come up with. We've gone through this with all of our management staff at our management meeting. There was generally a fairly positive response to it. The major changes here, we've updated the typography to a more modern font, a sans serif font, which reproduces in various contexts and on the web much more easily. And we've tightened up we've kind of stylized the logo. So it's very identifiable, has the SU flame, but it's a little more modern, a little bit more web 2.0 or whatever you want to call it. And generally it's gotten a pretty good response internally. But I just wanted to get your guys' feedback on it, if you have any comments or thoughts. And then I'm going to do a quick little poll just to see you guys' opinion. That's what we said we'd do. So any thoughts on this new design so far? Was that a thumbs up? I'm not sure.
Just any commentary in general?
I think Levi. Oh, I was just going to say, I think it looks good. It doesn't deviate too much from the old one. It is a nice, kind of cleaner look.
Perfect.
Just wanted to ask if you do a side-by-side comparison so we can see how
that's what we do. I don't think we can do it twice. That'd be awesome. Look at that, there you go. So the new one is on the left. The old one is on the right. So looking at them like this, any comments? Yes.
Is there any way to see, the old logo with the new font? Because I like the new font, and like you said, it would translate better to online, but I feel like the new revised logo is a little bit rounded. I don't want to be sticking the mud on this. But.
That comment also came up in our discussions as well.
Okay.
Design did modify a little bit. It was a little more round before. Legitimate point, and I don't have that. I don't have a sample
okay.
Like that. So, any other comments? Yeah.
I'm sure you've already had this discussion internally, but if we were intending to do the logo, why pick something so similar to our old one as opposed to doing something more drastic?
Because we think there is brand equity in it. For example, and we've also put the logo in a lot of places. If you go through Sub, you'll actually find several tile versions of the logo. Embedded, and this one's close enough that it's still recognizable. And people have, internally anyways, a lot of our student staff and that have a lot of attachment to the logo. To the existing one. Yeah?
Do you
Thomas? Sorry, I have a lazy eye, so I'm looking at you. I was telling this to my friend because we need to get some surgery in the fall to fix it because it's really annoying. I look at someone and they always look to their left. I'm looking at you.
So it looks like the new logo is more upright.
It is actually
down than the old one. Why was that?
I think that was the yard. I think it was the designer's choice for two reasons. One is to make it clear, a little bit more clear, that it's an S and an U, and also for balance, visual balance.
Yeah, because we got rid of the points or the little additional flames sticking out, and I guess if you just tilted it, it would look weird now that it's more more simple.
Okay.
Yeah.
Justice.
This is definitely nitpicky, but
go ahead. That's where we're at.
In my opinion, like in the old logo, the kind of pedestal that it's on is very clearly like a pedestal that the piano is like emerging from.
Yeah.
And the new one, I can't really put my finger on it. It looks. Marina just whispered to me. It looks like a coaster, which is pretty funny. It kind of looks like a smiley face too. Like it, I think it loses something in being like kind of thicker and shorter.
Okay. Any other comments? Yes.
I just want to say, like, I think this is a really good time to have a new logo. We have some new capital projects being finished, and I agree, like, it's a good time to update it. I just have a question about the font. Like, why did you choose your sans serif?
Sans serif was more, we just felt it was, I think the designers felt it was more contemporary. Mm-hmm. They just liked this font. There's one other reason is that we buy the family and there's a whole bunch of different weights that we get with it. So it's a very broad font family. So in different contexts, be it in a reverse mode where it's white on black or something, or in various visual contexts, we can use bolder weights much more easily. It's got a much wider range and it's very licensable. Yeah.
As well, you can have it in lowercase, which the current font you cannot.
Oh yeah, that's true too. Yeah. Trajan doesn't come in.
So you can use it for documents.
My pet peeve on it is the kerning a little bit. I'm still going to have them adjust it a little bit. What we're going to do is we're going to take your feedback here. We're going to go back to design and kind of give them that feedback and see if there's anything else that we do. If you guys hate this, then we're going to have to start over. We're going to have a discussion with exactly what's starting over. But this is something we're going to have to move on fairly quickly. So I'm glad you're all giving me all this feedback so that we can have a good discussion about it before we finalize something at executive. Any more comments before I do a quick straw poll? Okay, they're just thinking generally here. Neither logo is perfect. And I feel like I should have you all stick your head down so people say what else about this.
Can you show us
the
page that has the black part on the bottom of the thing?
Scroll up.
Yeah, there.
Okay. Scroll up.
There.
Okay, so I don't care. I want to do a quick vote about who prefers, like which ones you guys prefer. So the old logo, who prefers that one? Okay. Who prefers the new logo? Democracy in action. Okay. All right, that's pretty good. Your comments are well taken, all of them, and they were entirely dissimilar from some of the ones we got from our staff. So you will be going back. I think we can do a little bit more tweaking, of it, but we will be moving forward probably with it soon, unless council has a big problem with that. I want to thank you so much for your time and your input.
Thank you.
Thanks.
The board. So tomorrow we have a special board meeting, and the purpose of that meeting is to rescind the market modifiers and the tuition increases and bring them back to the 2014-15 levels. So that's really good news. UFC already did theirs way earlier, but finally the board is doing that. However, there's a caveat. We've been informed that the tuition will be rolled back, but only for domestic students. So the market modifier tuition increases will still apply to international students in those five programs. So we're having this vote at the board tomorrow, so it hasn't, it's not finalized yet, but that's the motion that's coming to the board, is to separate the increases between domestic and international students. Obviously, this is, we see it as being unfair. I don't really see it as being the spirit of Bill 3, but apparently the government is aware of it. And the reason the university can legally do this is because international tuition is not part of the tuition and fees regulation, and Bill 3 applied in the context of the tuition and fees regulation. So that's what's coming forward tomorrow, and I'll update you on what happens. It'll probably be in the Gateway regardless, so that's what's happening there. Other than that, things are just going steady, so thanks.
Seeing none, we'll move on to board and committee reports. Do you have any members of the boards or committees?
I want to pass along some very good news that you guys may not be aware of. Our contractors for our renovation project have contributed $130,000 to the Students' Union. We're still deciding what to do with that. There's a good chance it'll go towards seeding our theater project. So that's very exciting. And actually, our project manager showed me the numbers. And if we hadn't done the building, the office renovation, which we ended up doing, we would have actually spent less than we initially budgeted, despite the various additional costs that we incurred. Because in total, we raised about $650,000 or $700,000 from various people. So that was a good news.
Thank you very much. I think Governor Khan is blacked out, so we're waiting for us.
As President Kinda mentioned before about the meeting that we have tomorrow, some of it also discussing the international market modifier basically being most likely approved. My biggest issue with something like that is the fact that for some of the programs in particular, the number of international students who are part of those programs are such a small select group. Just using law as an example, we're talking about students in the single digits for faculty of 600-700 students. And to single them out to have an increase is, if anything, you're not actually getting that much of an increase in the budget for a lot of these programs that are getting the increase. But the potential backlash from having that increase in international students is probably outweighs the benefit of actually increasing the tuition in the first place. From my time on the board, I've understood that whenever you're making arguments, you really do need to make it in the framework of what's in the best interest of the university. So appealing so much to kind of unfairness on the students' part in the past has not been very effective. But I do think you can argue from the point of view of at least the best interest of the university that increasing the international student, going through with the market modifier, essentially singling out a really small minority groups in some of these programs is the way I would be probably presenting it, my position, at least to the board. That's all.
Thank you very much. Mr. Nelson, I'm assuming for Councilor Zhang.
Correct. Thank you, Mr. Speaker. An update on behalf of Councillor Zhang in his capacity with the CAC. And if you'll indulge me, I'll just read off a few housekeeping items. Those of you who have not paid for laser tag, please do so as soon as possible. You can drop the money off at the front desk in 2-900. The council event is coming up and it's going to be Heritage Days. Victoria has sent out a doodle poll. Please fill it out. And please get your council photo taken by the end of this week. So, thank you.
Thank you very much, Mr. Hampson. Any other members of any boards or committees who wish to make a report at this time?
Councilor Allen,
go ahead.
Hi,
processes, just to make sure that everything is optimized for the by-election. So we are trying to gather as much feedback as possible. We're performing a consultation process with a lot of university stakeholders, people who have past experience with elections. So if you have any thoughts at all, we are willing to hear them. So you can always contact me, send them to me or a member of the bylaw committee, or you can attend one of our future meetings. Our next meeting will be next Thursday at 6. So keep that in mind.
Thank you very much, Councilor Allard. Any other reports? Seeing none, we'll move into the question period. I don't believe there are any written questions, so we'll start first with any oral questions that Council has. Starting with Councilor Allard, go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. My question is for President Kinda. So just to clarify, are the motions that are going to the board, is it two separate motions? Like one motion to roll back the tuition and market modifiers and one motion to separate international student tuition from regular, like domestic student tuition? So like, I ask, because like, is there a chance that the motion to separate can fail and then all of them be rolled back to for the 2014-2015 motions?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I have it right here. Just give me one second. So it's not just one motion. There's two or three different motions. Let me just kind of pull them up. So there was two or three motions made at the March meeting where they first divided up like which market modifiers to vote on. So what's happening is the motion will be to rescind those various motions, but there's kind of like a precursor motion where but it states that these motions only apply in the context of the tuition and fees regulation, so they're like, therefore, only for domestic students. So they worded it very particularly, if that makes sense. But I'll take a follow-up if it's allowed.
I don't see anything else for your question, so Casper, I'll follow up. Okay.
Sorry, so just to clarify, though, like this pre-motion, if that fails, then all of them would be rolled back, assuming everyone's passed, which they have to.
Yeah, let me just read the motions out to you. Permission to read out papers, Mr. Speaker.
Go ahead.
Cool. So motion one is the Board of Governors rescind tuition fees for 2015-16 as set forth in attachment one. Motion two, that the Board of Governors approve that tuition that falls within the tuition fees regulation be set at 2014-15 rates as directed by the Government of Alberta. Three, that the Board approve the application of previously approved increases to the fees for international students effective September 1st, as set forth in attachment two. Motion four, that the board authorize the president and vice chancellor to take all necessary action to implement motions 1, 2, 3. So maybe these will be omnibus, maybe they won't be. That just depends on how the meeting goes tomorrow. Yeah.
Thank you very much. Councilor Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. My question is for Councilor Adamaj. I've heard rumblings about CAC looking into the possibility of councillor town halls. I was wondering if the councillor could provide an update on this subject.
Thank you. Councillor Johnson, I don't know who gave you that great question. So yeah, CAC has talked about hosting town halls. A lot of councillors, when they were talking to the president, and also in general when they were being elected, they all cited student engagement as being their number one priority. And a lot of them cited also having some sort of town halls or town meeting or meetings with constituents and constituents from each faculty to at least at the beginning of the year to have this sort of dialogue between constituents and us as councillors. So CAC has been talking about the logistics of holding town halls. There's a couple of ideas being thrown out, and I'm looking for some sort of advice or like ideas from other councillors. Also, if you want to come to CAC next Tuesday at 6 p.m., please do so. There's been talk about, most of the bigger faculties, such as science and arts and engineering, would have their own individual town hall, just because they're obviously bigger faculties, bigger students, more councillors. There's no point of combining them with another faculty. But some of the other smaller faculties that only have one or two counselors and a lower amount of students would be combined into a larger town hall, just because we feel like for budget costs that would work much better. So we're still working through a budget for what would it be for these town halls. We're thinking we're going to just have three or four blocks. talks of a piece or something like that for these town halls, and it'll be within the first 2 weeks of September. So other than that, oh, and also for those counselors that I may have not talked to already, we are one idea that we propose that we would host this in conjunction with faculty associations. So if you are linked with your faculty association, please do talk to them, because we don't want any duplication. They have an annual general meeting. It's very similar to our idea of a town hall. So we can combine with them, also split the cost of any food or refreshments we have at this point. So any ideas or anything, please let me know. Thanks.
Yes. Thank you, Mr. Speaker. This question is directed to Vice President Kwan. In her report, she mentions that her and President Kinda presented to the Chinese university administrators. I'm just wondering what context this was. Was this part of the GALD program?
Thank you for your question. I believe it was. So pretty much it was, ex-President Lau extended invite to me and President Kinda to present to Chinese scholars. So the context of the presentation was just to talk a little bit about the operations of SU and stuff like that, and also went through like each of her VP and president's portfolios. That was really fun.
Any other questions? Councilor Jason.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. This is a question for Vice President Lau. So you mentioned in your report that engineering students have been introduced to a new program, and that some of them are having scheduling issues. I am aware that the Engineering Student Society, the Faculty Association, is writing a letter outlining student concerns to the faculty. Could you elaborate a bit on what these difficulties in scheduling are?
Speaker and Councilor Wong for the question. So the major concern that happens with the particularly affected groups of students is that they're being forced to basically take, I think it's 24 months in a row of school, because they're being required to take courses over spring and summer. And that's really unfortunate if you're an international student who wasn't planning on staying for spring and summer, who wanted to go home, or you didn't want to pay for those residence fees to stay on campus or buy campus. And that's the major thing that I think is the concern that's coming from students. I also think that student consultation wasn't adequately done in this process. The SS is still confirming, the consultative route was taken for this, but I don't believe that the decision where this was made, there was a student representative on the committee to recommend this.
Thank you very much. Any additional questions? Full question period. Yes.
Again, on behalf of Councillor Chang, thank you, Mr. Speaker, to Vice President Bonnerchuk. Regarding the renovation, I see in the report everything's complete. Are you able to advise how soon council meetings will be held in council chambers?
Oh, God. Thanks for the question. In terms of... He asked me this morning. Okay. So when I said the renovations were complete, I of course was referring to the sub-renovations, as we have no control over what's happening in University Hall. For any of you who don't know, council chambers will hopefully be held in University Hall sometime in the fall. When I reached out to the operations manager with the Van Vliet complex, which University Hall falls under now, about a month ago, she said they were more or less on schedule. I reached out to the project manager and haven't received a response yet, so I'm waiting on that. I would assume it's still on schedule.
Any other questions for question period? Yes, Councilor Flanagan, go ahead.
This question is for General Manager DeMichelle. Again, I'd like to thank you for coming in and doing a presentation on the new logo. I'd like to reiterate that I think it looks good. But I'm a little concerned that we're only hearing about it now for the first time. And it sounds like, barring a couple of small tweaks, we're ready to move on it. And I was wondering if you could maybe explain why we were really involved earlier on in the process.
I think that's a very fair question. For something like this, they will typically come to council closer to completion than initiation. And that's simply because it's a lot harder to design with 30 people in a room than with 3. we would have definitely preferred to be able to discuss this at some length and let it circulate among counselors and staff for a longer period of time. But given that we want to complete some of our projects and that we're going to have to do some branding associated with that, we rather unexpectedly, it was a bit of a surprise to me. They'd been working on it for a while and said, look, before you go and do this, they came to us quite late and said, before you do this, maybe you should know that we think we should change the logo. And I said, okay, well, let's talk about this. And I informed them that we couldn't follow up. It would have to be an accelerated time frame. So that's why. It just kind of got away, a bit of internal miscommunication and got away from us. That said, something at that level we would want to advise, the typical process would be to advise council, like we did with renovation. We talk about it here, we give you a presentation, then you go back, we take the feedback, we build it into the next revision, and keep bringing it back. And that's what we wanted to hear, because if it was about 75, 25, 80, 20 here, if it had been closer to 50-50, we definitely would have had to reconfigure a whole bunch of things that we were planning to do, because we weren't in the right direction. I hope that answers your question.
Any additional questions for question period? Seeing none? Oh, Councilor Adamash.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to ask the president. So this is just more of a general question on this whole market modifier international students issue. I'm wondering if this has been brought up in previous talks with the minister and the government, whether or not this is sort of a blind side from this, and like whether, I don't know, just keep that one question.
Okay, thank you, Speaker. If I understand your question, basically asking if what the ministry is doing about this loophole, sort of. That's what we're looking forward to, that two-year review that everyone's been talking about. So over the next 2 years, they should be reviewing the funding frameworks for universities as well as the tuition framework. And so that's where, by the end of 2 years, that's where the major changes would happen. So in terms of our long-term advocacy, that's what the goal is to make sure that we have like students' input during that change, during those consultations. And one of the big things that we're pushing for, again, is regulation of international fees. So just like tuition for domestic students is capped by CPI. That's generally the same thing we'll look for international students as well. But the conversation, there's still room for that to change a little bit. But that's a long-term goal. In terms of our short-term advocacy, like if this change, if the motions do pass from the board, which is likely to happen, we'll be pushing to make sure that those international students who are affected at least have recourse in the form of like grants and bursaries. So if they're going to be paying that much more, they should be able to access more financially if they need it. So that's kind of the angle. Those are the two angles we're looking at right now.
Thank you very much. Any other questions before we close the question period? Once, twice. Question period is closed. So move on to board and committee business, which there is none. So we'll go to general orders. Item 7A, Mon motions. Mon, I'm assuming this should say this. Mon moves to approve the second principles for the experiential learning policy as attached. Is there a seconder for this particular motion? Councilor Fleming. Vice President Rahman, would you like to introduce?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. So this policy is like very similar to what we had in the past. The big changes, I'd say, are on the very last whereas clause, right on the second end of it. It says funding for program development and financial support for students. Those before were just piled into one clause that said funding, and I felt like that wasn't clear enough whether you were funding students to be able to participate in this or funding like program development, so that students had a variety of options that they were doing under experiential learning. I also thought that the next line, external policy barriers were very clear. So I expanded on that a little bit. On the first view result clause, advocating for flexible programming was another clause that wasn't very clear what entails an unflexible program. And I had a bit of trouble with this particular clause because I wasn't sure if I should be at the very end of the result clause, if I should be listing all the different types of barriers that could be in the reasons that we don't have flexible programming. And I decided to elaborate on some of them, like gender, sexuality, visual, like religious minority. And that's one thing that I wasn't really confident on. Aside from that, on the second last week for the result clause, Right now, as it stands, the undergraduate research initiative, community service learning, and study abroad, both are in very similar positions when it comes to engaging students and providing experiential learning. And that similar position is they don't have dedicated funding from year to year. And they can't really figure out what they can expect to do consistently from year to year and plan how to expand their program. So I think it'd be fantastic if there was a centralized office that could say, you're going to have this much funding, preferably from the provost office. And that would enable them to produce strategic plans and find out what they're going to look like 2 years down the road or 5 years down the road. I welcome any feedback or comments on that motion.
Thank you very much, Vice President Rahman. Just before you go into debate, again, with second reading, council's responsibility is to make sure that the first principles that were originally passed, which are included up here, are properly reflected within second principles, which will become policy. So, same thing with bylaws, making sure first reading is adequately reflected. So, we'll open the floor to debate.
Pointing at the parliamentary inquiry?
Yes.
Mr. Speaker, so if I want to make an amendment, should I make that just right out of the gates? Or?
Not yet. Depending on how the debate goes, I'll offer a few points of debate. If you want to make an amendment, we'll do it maybe after the third or fourth speaker, then.
Sure.
So any debate or tentative amendment by Councilor Patrick? Or does everyone just want to hear what the amendment is? Yes, President Kinda, go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to speak in favor of these changes. I think that the detailed changes that Vice President Rahman outlined are really prudent changes, so it looks good. I think we should vote in favor, but I'm curious to see the amendment.
Thank you very much, President Kinda. Any further points of debate before we hear Councilor Patrick's amendment? Seeing none, go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Thank you, President Kinda, for saying something. I put a piece of honeydew in my mouth right after finishing my first thing. I was like, oh no, I'm going to have to speak with food in my mouth. But so my amendment is, in the first be it resolved point, can I just start reading like right before it starts changing and then you'll pick up?
Just give me 1 second.
Okay. Okay, so the first be it resolved that point, I think should read, including but not limited to race, comma, gender, comma, sexuality, comma, religious faith, comma, or matured slash non-traditional, comma, part-time, comma, aboriginal, comma, and slash or international student status.
Okay, say that again, but 10 times slower.
Okay, so put an or right there. And then delete students after non-traditional. And then take out the students after part-time. And then a comma after aboriginal. And I believe that's it. So it changes a couple things. I think this reading of it means exactly the same thing, but it might be good looking. People are being discriminated against because they're the religious majority. I still think that's bad. I think in terms of just like the structure of the sentence, it makes more sense because it's listing barriers to entry. The barrier to entry wouldn't be the part-time students. It's not what the students are keeping you from participating. It's your status as one of these students, and I think it just, it's a better written sentence, in my opinion.
Fair enough. So, we'll go to debate on the amendments. Is there any debate on the amendments as presented? Yes, Vice President Rahman.
I'd like to speak in favor of these changes. I think they're great changes. The faith one in particular,
And I think that the org does tighten up the language. Makes it a bit more concise and also makes it clear what is really the barrier that is being applied to students in terms with respect to getting involved in the student control.
Any other debates on this particular amendment? Councillor Lawson?
A bit of a grammar nitpicky, but the first or, I'm not sure we need it. Or mature non-traditional students, and then at the end we have 10 or international students, so it's just the vernacular word for me. Or if somebody's a better grammar, we can explain that.
Yes, Councillor Paddock.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The first or denotes, or sort of shows that the student status phrase right at the end of the sentence is going to apply to all of the previous items between the end of the sentence and the first or. Because it's matured slash non-traditional and sort of in brackets, student status. That's why it was the first or.
Thank you.
Any other debates on this amendment? Yes, Councilor Flynn.
Just two quick questions. Again, I'm a little lost on the vernacular, I think. Is the correct term matured student, or is it just mature student? Or matriculated student.
Yes, Vice President
Rahman. Mr. Speaker, I'd like to accept that as a friendly amendment.
Is there anyone opposed to carrying that amendment as friendly, deleting the D off matured, just making it mature? I'm assuming Vice President Rahman is seconding that amendment. I'm assuming the Council Plan wanted to move that amendment.
Yes, that's correct.
So moved. Any other debate on this particular amendment? Councilor Hodgson, go ahead.
For Aboriginal, is the correct term now First Nations?
The university currently refers to, like the Department of Native Studies, but they currently refer to First Nations, Aboriginal, or Métis students. Métis or Inuit student status when they are on the form thing that you fill out. So I feel it would be fine. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Any other debates on this particular amendment? Is there anyone opposed to carrying this amendment as friendly? Seeing none, so moved. Going back to the
second reading, tons of fun. So you can see from the first principles, the outline was to change the timeline in which DFUs have to report their financial packages to Finance Committee. So if you look at document, or the attached document 2, you'll see the changes under the line where it says all operational dedicated units shall provide an annual report of their finances to the Finance Committee within 4 months of the end of their fiscal year. I have made that change to reflecting first principles to say within 6 months of the end of their fiscal year. Thank you.
Thank you very much. So Mr. Plamarchuk, for the introduction. Is there any debate on this motion? Yes, Councilor Plamar.
I would like to speak in favor of this motion. I feel that it is not unreasonable to give our DFUs a couple extra months to get their finances recorded, and when a few of them have been asking for extensions in the past.
bylaw shall reflect this by mandating schedules 3,000 and 6,000 be maintained by the chair of finance committee. Is there a seconder for that motion? Councilor Christensen. Vice President Bonnarchuk, would you like to introduce your motion?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would love to.
Go ahead.
So, a second reading for this one as well. If you look to attached document 3, in keeping with first principles, I have changed the line, in addition to the base Students' Union membership fee, Chair of Audit Committee shall maintain a schedule of dedicated fees to be collected, and it has been changed to reflect that Finance Committee, as stated in earlier, as was previously changed by last council in other bylaws, this one was just missed, to make Finance Committee the ones in charge of the dedicated fee units, because Audit Committee is now taking on Faculty Association financial reviews. So, I've made that change. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Vice President Bonnarchuk. Is there any debate on motion 7C? Seeing none, we're going to go over this again. Is there anyone opposed to the carrying item 7C? Would anyone wish to abstain from this particular motion? Seeing none, the motion carries unanimously.
Thank you.